For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That ties right into tonight's message. Isn't that always the way? Turn, if you would, turn first to Revelation chapter 5. And then we'll go to Psalm 96, where we'll be tonight. The name of the message is New Song, Old Story. New Song, Old Story. Now, all through the Scriptures, God's people are exhorted to sing praises to our great God. We just saw that over there in 1 Thessalonians 5. We're to sing praises to our great God and King, because, again, He alone is the only one worthy. He's the only one worthy of our praise. He's the only one worthy to be praised. And we are to sing of His greatness. We're to sing of His greatness. We just sang of how He sought us. We were wandering off. Every time we sing that, I just think of where I was. And He sought me. What a glorious song. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. I know you weren't seeking Him either. But He found you, didn't He? He found you who believe. It's wonderful. And now that we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, we sing a new song, beloved. See, these lips didn't used to praise the Lord before the Lord saved us. No. But now, the believer has a song. And oh, we sing praise to our great God. We once, at one time, did not know Him, but now we know Him. He's revealed Himself to us. And He's revealed to us that He's the God of all grace. He's revealed to us His sovereignty over all things. He's revealed to us that He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And He's revealed to us that He is God alone, hasn't He? He's revealed that to us. We'll look tonight in Psalm 96 and we're to sing praises to our great God. To our great God. And it's He alone who's made the heaven and the earth, and we declare His glory to a lost world, don't we? We declare His glory to a lost world. Look in Revelation chapter 5 here. Now, we who are born again by the Holy Spirit of God, we sing a new song, beloved. We sing a new song. We sing a song of our Redeemer. We sing a song of our Redeemer. Look at this, Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 to 14. Look at this. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. A lamb. Oh my. And He came and took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Oh, what do they say? They say, Thou art worthy. Oh my. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain. He's a lamb slain, beloved. And remember, He's a lamb slain from the foundation of the earth. Foundation of the world. Oh, He was slain. And hast redeemed us. Oh, this is salvation song, beloved. Has redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's a number that no man can number. Isn't that wonderful? A number, and the believer in Christ can say, I'm in that number. Glory be to God, I'm in that number. All by His mercy and grace. Saying with a loud voice, what are they saying? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. He's the only one worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Beloved, we'll be singing, Worthy is the Lamb forever and ever. Isn't it glorious? We'll be singing to the one who was slain for us, the one who redeemed our eternal souls. And He, look at that, He sits upon the throne, what? Well, what's the throne? That's where a person rules, isn't it? That's where they rule. King sits on a throne forever and ever. Look at that. And our salvation's in Him. It's in Him. It's in Christ. Our salvation's eternal, beloved. It's eternal. And the four beasts said, Amen. What else do you say? Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped Him that liveth forever and ever. Now let's turn to Psalm 96. And we will see tonight that there are two ways in which we can express our thanks and our praise to our great God. We'll see it in this psalm, which we will study tonight. There are many ways in which man seek comfort in this world and yet get no relief. No relief. No relief from the things of the world and no relief from fellow humans. And sometimes grief can be overwhelming. And sometimes the believer suffers in silence with no comfort from friends. But there's one who comforts us. There's one who sticks closer than a brother, beloved. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to think upon the great things that our God hath done for us. You know why? Because it'll fill our mouths with praise. It'll fill our mouths with praise for our great God. Oh. And when we ponder and meditate upon our great God and the wondrous things that He has done for us in Christ, we will find our sorrow being turned to joy. Our mourning to dancing, as the scripture says. Our hearts and souls would be lifted up from the cares and trials of this world, which are real, and which we go through. Every believer goes through different trials. Now, if we were to get together and talk about our struggles and our trials, we would find we go through a lot of the similar things, beloved. And you know who our worst enemy is? Amen. Ourselves. Our flesh. Our flesh. You know, in religion, they like to say, well, Satan made me do it. No, most probably, most of the time, Brother Norm liked to say, about 80-90% it's your flesh. Right? We can get ourselves in a heap of trouble. My. But when we think about what Christ has done for us, oh, when we lift our hearts up in praise and our lips in praise and express our gratefulness to our Lord for what He's done, it'll fill you with joy. It'll fill you with joy. And we can express these in song and praise, and we can express this in declaring the wondrous works of God. So with that in mind, let us read the whole psalm, and then we'll look at a few verses here. Psalm 96, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. The believer in Christ has a new heart, born again by the Holy Spirit of God, and they have a new song. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. It's He who has redeemed me. Look at that. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Remember, out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day, proclaim what He's done, declare His glory among the heathen, and never forget we were among the heathen. Till God called us out. Now we're just saved sinners, but we're still set apart by Him. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, all ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. He reigns. Scripture declares that right there. He reigns. And we know His reign is absolute, beloved. Absolute. The Lord reigneth. Our Savior reigneth, beloved. Our Savior reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful in all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for He cometh. He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. So we see the psalmist here again by inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Never forget, whenever we read Scripture, it's by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Again, I know I keep stressing that, but we just need to keep having that before us, that the Scriptures are authored by the Holy Spirit of God. Right? Holy men moved as they were, or holy men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit exhorts God's people to sing of the glory of the Lord and proclaim the glory of the Lord. For the good things the Lord hath done for us and the great things He has made known to us. What did the Lord tell the Gadarene demoniac? He wanted to go with the Lord, remember? And the Lord said, no, you go and tell the people the great things that God hath done for you. There goes an evangelist. My. And you can be sure that he went and told people the great things that God had done for him. He told them. My. Look at verses 1 to 3 and take note that the psalmist says in the first two verses, sing unto the Lord three times. Sing unto the Lord, sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord. Three times. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Three times. Beloved, sing to God the Father. Sing to God the Father. Give Him all the praise and glory. He's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And give Him praise for planning and purposing our salvation in eternity. And then give Him praise for sending our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to accomplish that salvation. Give Him praise and glory. Give Him praise and glory. Sing unto the Son. Adore the Lamb slain for you. Adore the Lamb slain for you, which we looked at in Revelation chapter 5. Sing praises of adoration for Him and for what He's done. The Lamb slain for you. for our sin. For our sin. And with the eye of faith, kneel at the cross and praise each wound that our Lord had. And magnify our great Redeemer, beloved. Magnify Him. As with the eye of faith, we see Him upon that cross dying for us. Dying for us. And we see Him risen for our justification, beloved. And now He's seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, where He reigneth. He reigns. Praise His name. Oh, and He became flesh for us. Give Him praise that He became flesh for us willingly. He willingly left heaven for us to redeem us from our sins. To shed His precious blood to purchase our eternal souls. And then sing to the Holy Spirit of God, the great Comforter. Oh, who hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Praise Him for revealing the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Praise Him for His regenerating power. Praise Him for instructing us in the things of Christ and having us grow in grace. Look at that. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Give Him praise. Give God all the glory. And we see in this psalm that the psalmist seems taken away with the greatness of God and in His wondrous works, that He breaks forth with praise to our great God. Look at the first three verses again. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. His heart's being carried away as He contemplates the greatness of our God. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. The psalmist is just carried away in adoration and praise for our great God. And we sing a new song, beloved. We sing salvation's song. And we sing to the Lord, the Lamb who's redeemed us, the One who's over all of heaven and earth. That's who we sing to. And what do? We declare His glory, don't we? We declare His glory to the heathen. We declare His glory to the lost. And let this come from us in private conversations or in songs of worship. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. And let the love you have for the Redeemer flow forth in praise, beloved. Oh, let it flow forth in praise. Glorify our great God. Contemplate your redemption by the precious blood of Christ. Just contemplate that. Meditate on it sometimes. And I can tell you, you start thinking about the blood of Christ and how it cleanses us from all our sin, and it won't be long that you're singing glory to His name or you're rejoicing with us. Song and praise to Him for what He's done for you. It's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. Contemplate that we're now justified before God by Christ alone. Contemplate these things. Meditate just means think upon them. Just think upon them. Contemplate them. There's all kinds of things we contemplate in a day. Contemplate the glorious things that God has done for you. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Contemplate the fact that all our sins are forgiven, that we stand before God totally pardoned. Never to be judged again. Contemplate this wonderful salvation. Again, it'll fill your lips with praise. And if when the Lord wills and He opens the door, we tell others, don't we, the great things He's done for us. Not hard to do that when we start contemplating these wondrous things, is it? And we want others to know, don't we? We know that we can't make them know. We know that. But we still want to tell them the wondrous things our Lord done for us. Yeah. Because He's done them for us. And we don't even deserve it. Oh, it's incredible. So contemplate these things. Contemplate these things. Contemplate how the precious blood of Christ has paid that which God demanded for our souls. And give Him all the glory, beloved. It'll turn your lips to praise Him and give Him glory and honor. And contemplate the greatness of our God, which is spoken of in verses 4 to 6. Look at this. The greatness of our God. Look at this. For the Lord is great. He's great. There's a statement. There's no arguing about it. He's great. And the believer can say amen, can't we? He's great. And we say He's greatly to be, look at, and greatly to be praised. Oh my. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols. Look at that. Look at that statement. But the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Now look at and marvel, beloved of God, at the incomparable greatness of our God in these verses. The incomparable greatness of our God is brought forth. And take note that verse 4 notes why He's worthy of our praise. It says because He's to be feared above all gods. So all those things that people bow down to and fear, they're just dumb idols. But He's the one true and living God, and He's to be feared above all gods. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Oh my. And again, that fear is a reverent fear. It's a reverent fear. And why? Why is He to be feared? Why is He to be feared above all gods? Well, look at verse 5. All the gods of the people are idols. Idols. Beloved of God, our great God is infinitely superior to all gods, false gods. They are made of wood and stone. They are powerless. They are non-existent. It's a piece of rock, or a piece of concrete, or a piece of cement, or a piece of wood. People make idols out of all kinds of things, don't they? All kinds of things. But they are absolutely powerless. They're good for nothing. They're useless. That's what's being brought forth here. So think of all the people. Well, I can think of one religion, billions of people around the world, and they bow to the statues, the wee statues that they bow to. Nothing but worthless idols. Nothing but worthless, useless idols. My. Praise God for those of us He delivered out of that too, eh? Oh my. Oh my. Worthless idols, powerless, non-existent, just a piece of stone, good for nothing. And take note in verse 5 that the true God is Jehovah. The true God is Jehovah. Look at this. For all the gods of the nation are idols. They're useless. Useless. But the Lord made the heavens. There's the true God. There He is. Oh, Jehovah, Elohim. There He is. He made the heavens. And all we who have God-given faith, we believe what this Scripture declares, don't we? We believe it. Now, there is a time when I may have looked at that and not believed it. Because I didn't believe the God of the Bible. There's no may about it. There was a time when I looked at this and I read Roy something tonight there. I'm not going to mention a whole lot of it, but again, I mentioned a little bit this morning. Nobody, you know, the God who loves everybody, well, people don't have a problem with that. I was reading Roy an article And some little girl asked the Pope, well, if God loves everybody, then why is there a hell? That's a good question, isn't it? Yeah. Well, we know God doesn't love everybody, does he? But he loves his bride. He loves his bride. And what does a man have to do? Or what does God have to do for a man to go to hell? Brother Ron and I were talking about that last week. Nothing. Just leave him alone. Yeah. Right head along. What does God have to do for a man to go to heaven? Everything. Everything. He does it all. From beginning to end, beloved. So we praise his name, don't we? We praise the God. We know that if the Lord God who made the heavens does not save us, then we'd never be saved. But we know that if the Lord God who made the heavens and the earth saves us, we are eternally saved, beloved. Isn't that wonderful news? That's good news for sinners, isn't it? That's awful good news for sinners. Oh my. For all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Oh, he is infinitely superior to all the false gods. And again, we who have God-given faith believe what the scriptures declare because we've been taught by God. We've been taught by God. He's revealed himself to us, and we've been taught by God that he did it all according to his almighty will and purpose. It's incredible. And it never gets old for the believer to hear these wonderful truths. Never does. Tell me the old story. I'm singing a new song now. Tell me the old story. Tell me the old story. Oh my. Note in verse 6 that honor and majesty precede him, and strength and beauty wait on him in his sanctuary. John Knox comments that this honor and beauty are his escort. Worship and magnificence, the attendants of his shrine. Let's read verse 6 again. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. The truth we, in these verses, these verses we've been looking at should cause the believer's heart to rejoice and to sing. As we see by God-given faith, just how superior our Lord is, as he is the one true God who made all the heavens and made all the earth. And beloved, he just spoke it into existence. And that same God who did that is the Lamb that we read about in Revelation chapter 5 that was slain to redeem us, to purchase our eternal souls. Look to the night sky and be in wonder and awe at the Lord's handiwork. Have you ever walked outside and just looked up and it just take your breath away? Just take your breath away. And that's just a little wee part that we're looking at, beloved. Little part. John told me one time, he said, go out about 5 o'clock in the morning in the summertime and just listen. It is the most spectacular thing. The chorus of birds in the morning singing will give you chills. It's absolutely breathtaking. Spurgeon used to say, they sing praises unto our great God. My. He used to say that the waves, after I read this, going to the ocean was never the same. He used to say that the waves, as they come crashing in, they clap in adoration. To the Lord. Just this constant clap. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I like looking at that. He said when you see a tree waving in the wind, it's waving in adoration to the Lord. This was just him looking at nature and seeing all of creation. Praise God. It's incredible. My. And then look at what we see every year here in the fall, what we're privileged to see every year in the fall, the leaves changing. And the beauty of it. The beauty of it. And it leaves us in awe, doesn't it? And all that beautiful leaves changing, and all comes by the power of God, beloved. It's He who brings the seasons. It's He who is in control of all things. And we get to admire His handiwork. We get to look and say, look what my Lord has done. I remember one grace preacher said one time he stopped at a gas station up in the mountains near where he lived. And the guy started pumping his gas, and some guy came over, and the attendant came over and started talking to him, and he's just sitting there pumping his gas, and he's looking over at this little mountain. And the guy says, how you doing? He goes, oh, I'm just admiring my father's mountain. And he goes, your father's mountain? He goes, I know who owns that land, and he's not your father. He goes, no, my father owns that mountain. It's true. Everything we look at, He owns. It's all His. It's all His, beloved. He reigns. He rules, and he just lets us live in this area. He just lets us live in the places we're at. Isn't it wonderful? What a blessing He is to us. Oh, what a blessing our great God is. So look at the night sky. Look at the leaves as they're changing. Look at the sun and the moon. How the sun rises every day and the moon comes out every night. You know, it's incredible. All ordered by our great God, beloved. All ordered by Him. And you know, all these things are a constant reminder that our great God is the one who created all these things. Next time you see a sunset, think, that's my Father has caused that to happen. My Father has caused that. He's allowed me the privilege of seeing that beauty. Or when you see a sunset. Or again, when you see the leaves change. It's incredible. It's all His doing, beloved. You know, not even a sparrow falls to the ground. Them little sparrows. I love sparrows. They're one of my favorite birds. Always have been. Don't know why, but they've always been one of my favorite birds. And so I was thrilled when I read in the scripture that not even one of them little sparrows fall to the ground without Him knowing. Isn't that amazing? All ordered by Him. The Lord reigneth. He reigns, beloved. And this is the same God who came and redeemed us from our sins. Oh, it's wondrous. So His handiwork is all around us. He clothes the grass. He causes the rain to fall. And the seasons to come and to pass. He does it all. So no wonder the psalmist uses expressions like splendor and majesty and strength. No wonder he does that. No wonder he says about beauty, the beauty of the Lord in His work. It's incredible. See, he's being taken away by the greatness of our God. He's being taken away by the greatness of our God. He's praising God in wonder and love to the one who is only worthy of our praise. Turn to, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. We see the Apostle Paul bring forth the same truth that's brought forth in this psalm that we're studying tonight. Now, in this portion, he's writing to new Christians who have come out of a pagan culture, who've come out of idol worship. And some of them were anxious about the food that had been sacrificed to idols in pagan temples. And then this food that was sacrificed in pagan temples was then made available commercially for people to purchase. And to be taken home and eaten, and prepare a meal, and then to be eaten. And note what he brings forth in verse 4, but we'll read verses 4 to 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look at this. As concerning thereof, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. Look at that. Same statement as like we saw over there, and they're nothing. They have no power. in that there is none other God but one. That's a very similar statement to what we're studying over there in Psalm 96. For though there be many that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God. There's one God. There's only one. You notice those are all little g's, just like over in our text? Huh? But there's one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Oh, my. Again, Paul says, we know there in verse 4, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is none other God but one. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way. One God. One God. Now, as I mentioned this morning, there's nothing new under the sun, beloved. There's nothing new under the sun. There's not. The idols of the New Age pantheism are only a figment of people's vivid imagination. The gods people have cooked up nowadays are the same as the gods of old. They're worthless and useless. They can't do anything. They can't do anything. Again, they're cooked up, I like what Calvin said, they're cooked up by the idol factories of man's heart. Natural man's heart is an idol factory. We just pump them out. Boom, 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 boom. It's true. My. But the gods of the New Age, pantheism again, are powerless. Just as the supposed gods of the ancient days were. Nothing new under the sun, beloved. And there's but one true God. One true God. Who we worship and adore. Oh my. And again, what did we look at this morning? Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. The one true God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's the Lamb slain, as we saw there in Revelation 5. And it's glorious. And He was slain for our sins. All to take away our sins. The Apostle Peter wrote, and there is salvation in no else. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. And that's narrow, isn't it? Neither is there salvation in any other. Again, as we've seen there in Psalm 96, all those idols, all the gods of the nations are idols, worthless, pieces of stone. And Thomas, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, inquired about the way to heaven, and again, the Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but through me, but by me. So all these supposed gods that people cook up are but figments of people's imagination. Because there's only one true God. There's only one way to the Father. There's only one mediator between God and man. There's only one Lamb. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And only through Christ is God's wrath and justice satisfied. Outside of Him, it falls upon the sinner. And beloved, our God is great and greatly to be praised. And He is beautiful to us, isn't He? He is the fairest of 10,000 to our souls. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Now look at verses 7 to 10. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due to His name. bring an offering and come into His courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, and it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Righteously. Again, God's people come from every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And they sing a new song, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, just as we read earlier. So we see then that all of God's people are exhorted to sing praises through this psalm, sing praises to our great God, to sing of His majesty, to sing of His greatness, to sing of the wondrous things that He's done for us. And we are to give God all the glory. He will not share His glory with anyone. With anyone. We give Him all the glory. We give Him the glory that's due His name. We give the glory that's due. Look at verse 8. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. He is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's the one who's redeemed us. Give Him all the glory. Give Him the glory due His name. And we bring the sacrifice of praise. It says there, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come to His courts. And we bring the offering of the sacrifice of praise, don't we? We praise His mighty name. We praise, we give Him all the glory. And He is the Lamb. He is the Lamb slain. He is the Lamb provided by our great God for us. So let we who are the redeemed give the Lord all the glory. Give the glory due to His name, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, died as my substitute. Glory to His name. Glory. And He did it willingly. My. My. Is He not worthy of all our praise when you contemplate that? When you just contemplate that? He's worthy of all our praise, beloved. He's worthy of all our praise just for who He is. But when we contemplate that He's redeemed us, He left heaven to come to this world, despised and rejected by men. Didn't even have a place to lay His head, beloved. What a Savior. What a Redeemer. Now the idea of worship is to fall down before God, prostrate or bow down before Him. And the word for fear is to tremble, trust, and wait carefully. We wait patiently, don't we? What's the Scripture tell us? Be still and know that I am God. Just wait. Wait on the Lord. That's the hardest thing for us to do, isn't it? That's why we're constantly reminded to do that. Because we just need to rest. We just need to wait on the Lord. Wait upon Him. So it reinforces the idea of worship as we are to be still again before our great God. We are to have a humble attitude before our great God. We are to approach Him in the spirit of deepest awe, beloved. And we do, don't we? We do. Now we know we have the freedom and liberty to go and pray to Him, but all we come before Him knowing that He's a holy and righteous God. We give Him the glory due His name, don't we? We give Him the glory due His name. And we come before Him in reverence of worship. And as we approach the throne of grace, we find grace and strength in time of need. Cast all your care upon Him. Why? Because He careth for you. He cares for His sheep, beloved. Every single one of them. There's not one that's not out of his sight. Not one. So ponder and contemplate again the glories of Christ in his kingdom. And all divine perfections are his, beloved. All spiritual, temporal, eternal blessings for the believer are in him. We are his by virtue of his Father's gift, and we are his by right of purchase. We are his by virtue of his Father's gift. He chose us in eternity to be his bride and in our Savior, the Lamb. Remember what it said? The Lamb what? Slain. Slain. Purchased us. Or his by right of purchase. So therefore, the psalmist exhorts God's people to proclaim who Jesus is and how sure and certain and how eternal his kingdom is. He's the one true God. So let we who are the redeemed of the Lord proclaim that the Lord reigns. Let us just proclaim it. He reigns. There's no debate in it. No arguing. You don't have to argue with folks. Just give them the scripture. The Lord reigns, period. He reigns. It's not up for debate. Just like God made the heaven and the earth, it's not up for debate. He spoke it into existence. He did it. And so let us praise our great Lord. Let us praise him and proclaim that he reigns and that he is in absolute control in the world is established by him and shall not be moved until that great day when he burns it all up. But that's all according to his will and decree too, isn't it? Talked to my son one time about global warming. I said, there'll be a global warming one day. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to burn all up. It is. Oh my. It will. Remember, I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, so swear. That God's word goes forth with power, beloved. It goes forth with power. And it will not return unto our Lord void. So we proclaim the greatness of our God, don't we? And then we see in this psalm the earnest exhortation of the psalmist to proclaim again the glory of our great God, the greatness of our great God, the wondrous things that he's done for us. Now let's look at the last three verses. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Our Lord is coming back. As certain as the sun rises, our Lord is coming back. No man knows the hour of the day, but he's coming back. He is. And he's coming back as a judge. As a judge. And he shall judge the world with righteousness. Who's our righteousness? Christ. Oh my. Praise God, we who are his people are clothed in his righteousness. Eh? Oh my. We see in these verses here that the soul of the inspired writer is so lifted up and taken away again in praising our great God that he even calls upon the inanimate parts of the creation to join and celebrate in the glorious King Messiah's praises. Give him all the praise. The heavens, the earth, the sea, its fullness, the fields, the trees, of the wood, all show the glories of our Creator. All show the glories of our great God. Brother Neil, you get to see that all the time. The great in the glories of our Creator. And the whole creation groaneth by reason of the fall. So in redemption everything shall bear a part in the holy joy. And the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, The good news is a gospel of wonders, beloved. It's a gospel of wonders. It deals with our sins in a most wonderful way because it presents to us a wonderful Savior. We can't deal with our sins on our own, can we? But the good news of the gospel is Christ died for sinners. He died for sinners. And the gospel tells us of his wonderful, complex person, as we saw this morning. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh to save his people from their sins. It's incredible. And the gospel points to Christ's wonderful atonement. It takes the blackest sinner and makes him or her wonderfully clean. Whiter than snow, beloved. Whiter than snow. Oh, the wonders of God's free and sovereign grace in Christ Jesus. It far exceeds the wonders of nature that we see. And there are no miracles so matchless in wonder as the miracles of grace in the heart of a man or a woman being born again by the Holy Spirit of God and being granted faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to our great God. Heavenly Father, again we thank you for allowing us by thy providence to gather here tonight. Again, we don't ever take it for granted, Lord, that you allow us to hear a message from thy word when so many others around us have no care, and yet you brought us here. By thy mercy, by thy grace, by thy sovereign, almighty power. And Lord Jesus, it was planned and purposed in eternity to be so. And that just leaves us in awe as believers. It leaves us in awe that you would have mercy upon us, that you would love us with an everlasting love, that you would leave heaven and come to this world to redeem us from our sins. Oh Lord, let our lips be filled with praise for thee. For God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, may we sing to thee, Lord, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, because it's you who's redeemed us, and you alone are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.